Good morning. What a privilege it is to be in the house of the Lord this morning and gathered here as a group. Trust you had a good week, and just glad we can be together here this morning. I've been asked to give a short update on the ministry of Gospel Echoes before I'll do that before we get into a message here. I do want to thank the congregation here for your ongoing support. It truly is a blessing to us as a ministry and us as a family. We really do appreciate that. I can say this morning I'm thankful the prison doors are still open here in Ontario and really throughout North America. You wonder sometimes how long they'll be open to the gospel, but at this point we do have an open door, and we endeavor to keep printing God's word and getting it into the hands of men and women in prison, and there seems to be a real hunger for that. Some of you may have seen our little red address book. I forgot to bring one along, but it doesn't look like much. It's an address book with no addresses in it. It gives them a chance to write in phone numbers and addresses of their family and friends, but we have a three-year calendar in there, and we have some good Bible verses, and we go through them by the thousands. This past week, we printed 50,000 again, and it seems like everybody, no matter who they are or what their religion is, will take a little pocket address book and put it in their pocket. And so you wonder sometimes, is it worth doing? But they're a hot ticket item. I know that when guys were allowed to have cigarettes in there, they were worth two packs of smokes for a little address book. And so that tells you the value of them. And so, yeah, we have an order coming of 50,000. Another thing we're looking at is the award Bible. Our Bible study courses, we have eight courses. If somebody works through the first four, they get an award Bible with their name printed in gold letters on the front. And we've been wanting to do a better quality Bible. We've been looking into that, and hopefully in the next half year to year, we'll be able to do our own custom Bible. We're looking into that. And if you think about praying for that project, maybe specifically pray for Todd Neuswander and Glenn and Bender. They're writing a number of study helps to put into the back of them. And when you think about it, giving a Bible away as an award for accomplishing something, you want to do a decent quality so that you expect them to read it on a daily basis and you don't want it falling apart all the time. So it's kind of, you know, you want to give away a good quality, you want to keep the cost down. And so I'm excited about that project. I hope we can print about 20,000 of those in the near future. As far as our current ministry team, Jake and Sherry Weeb are still part of that along with their family. Our son Ryan is just, he's still singing with them. He's completing his two-year term at the end of this year. And our nephew, Jason Souter, some of you might know him, he's from Wallenstein. He's planning on joining the team and will be taking Ryan's spot there. So you can pray for them as they make some adjustments there. I thought next Sunday evening was open, so I was going to make an announcement, so I'll do this real quietly. They're singing at Hessen Fellowship Church next Sunday evening at 7 o'clock. For those of you who aren't going to be caroling, but put caroling first. That's important. And as we do have a privilege of handing out Christmas cookies again this year, I just want to thank all the ladies that participate in that. I know they are the big 3-inch cookies. They're not the dainty little Christmas cookies we're all used to, but the men really appreciate getting more than one bite in the Christmas cookie, so thank you for that. It's a great opportunity to really get inside the prison and share God's love with them through a small token as a Christmas cookie. 2 weeks ago, Laura Lynn and I had the opportunity to go with the team to Workworth Institution. That's up Highway 30, up by Campbellford area. And we were in there for chapel services in the morning and the afternoon. And That was a real blessing to be there. As I was sitting there when the team was singing, I couldn't help but look at Ryan, and I had a flashback memory of me as a 20-year-old singing in the same chapel for the first time in 1990, and yeah, that made me feel a little old. I shared that with the guys when I had a devotional there in the service. And after the service, there was a white-haired gentleman that said he remembers being at that service 26 years ago, and he's been inside since 1988. So I had to think what all happened in my life in the last 26 or 28 years, as opposed to his life sitting there. He's a Christian, and he's living one day at a time inside the walls. And so, you know, it was a good reminder for me that we need to pray for the church behind bars as well. Over the years, I've had people ask me, what is the success rate of ministering to those in prison? I always say, I have no idea. But God knows the results, and it seems He only allows us to see enough results to keep us encouraged to keep going. Before the afternoon service, I had a man pull me aside, and he wanted to let my wife and I know several years ago. He was at one of our services, and he invited Jesus into his life, and he's been walking with the Lord since then. He said he has been trying to be a godly leader, an example in his home, the best he can from prison. And he was so excited. One of his sons recently became a Christian. Praise God. I only share this as an encouragement to each of you to keep encouraged as you share the love of Jesus Christ with those around you daily and not get caught up in needing to see the results of how your faith impacts others. We are all a small part of a much bigger picture. I think of what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 6 and 7. Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. So I just want to encourage you, don't get caught up in the results. Just be faithful and serve God where you are. We live in a dark world that is desperately in need of hope. And you and I are expected as Christians to share hope with others as we allow the love of Jesus to flow through us all day long. I'd like to tell you a true story. It's about a young boy named Peter. His mom died, and his father was left to raise three boys. Over time, his father dealt with life by becoming a workaholic and became very bitter and often beat up the boys. Peter was the youngest and was left to his older brothers to take care of him because their father was seldom home. When his brothers would go out at night to party, they would take Peter with them because he was too young to stay at home alone. He was influenced by the wrong crowd and started drinking and eventually did drugs at a young age. Peter was beat up by his father and his brothers many times, and life became very depressing and empty. Peter became very bitter at life and lost all hope. He lived close to the ocean and decided to walk down to the beach one day and stood there watching the waves come crashing in one after the other. He thought, that is exactly like my life, one wave after the other that comes crashing in. Peter decided life wasn't worth living anymore and thought, I'll just start swimming out farther and farther until I can't swim anymore. Or hopefully a shark will come and that would be the end. So Peter waded into the water and started swimming straight out from shore, farther and farther. What a state of hopelessness. You know, Peter was one of many ordinary people living in an ordinary neighborhood, surrounded by many people that do not know the love of God. The other weekend at the prison, I was so blessed by some of the inmates. They sang a song with much enthusiasm, and the song they sang was "The Love of God." Some of the lyrics in that song, I know it's very familiar, but it says, "The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin." The chorus says, "O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints' and angels' song." And then in verse 3, it talks about, it says, "To write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though it stretched from sky to sky." There's no way we can even comprehend how much God loves each one of us and mankind in the world today. But I think if we were able to understand just how rich and pure God's love really is for mankind, it would help motivate each of us to share that love with others around us. So how do we do that? It is about having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and walking with him every day. And I had a few examples of men who walked with God, but Larry beat me to it. Both Enoch and Noah walked with God. If you were here last Sunday, you remember reading in Genesis and in Hebrews 11 about these men and their faithfulness of walking with God. If you have your Bible with you this morning, I invite you to turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, the first four verses talks about unity through humility. The next several verses talk about the humbled and exalted Christ. And then the next few verses talk about being light bearers. I'd like to read the first 15 verses of Philippians 2. "Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Verse 12 starts with the word "therefore," or at least in my Bible it does. And when you see the word "therefore," it means for that reason, or as a result of, or consequently. So because of the verses that we just read, he goes on to say, "My beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. A couple key points in the last few verses there. Number 13 says, "For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure." God works in us for his pleasure, and that's a real blessing. And then verse 14, it says, "Do all things without complaining and disputing." So be happy and joyful. Nobody likes to hang around anybody that's always complaining. And then verse 15, he says, "So that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation." And the key to these whole verses that I like to bring out is the last part of verse 15. It says, "Among whom you shine as lights in the world." I invite you to turn over to Matthew chapter 5. Starting at verse 14, very familiar passage. Matthew 5:14 says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." So what does light really do? We know that light shatters darkness. In John 1:5 it says, "And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." I think we're all familiar with that example of if you have a little light shining in a dark room, you can keep adding as much darkness as you want, and the light doesn't go out. Darkness cannot overtake light. So light shatters darkness. It also, light exposes what is hidden. I'll just read 1 Corinthians 4, verse 5. It says, "Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the heart." Another thing light does is it gives vision and direction. Psalm 119:105 says, Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." And light also represents life. In John 1, verse 4, it says, "In him," in Jesus, "was life, and the life was the light of men." Jesus is the source of the light of life. Now, I'm not an electrician, but I know this much, that if there's going to be a light that turns on, there needs to be a power source. If you plug a lamp into the wall and turn it on, you expect the light to come on. If you don't plug it in, unless it's battery operated, it's not going to come on. And how many of you have ever grabbed a flashlight real quick out of the closet? You haven't used it for a while, and it's terribly annoying when you turn it on and there's nothing there. Batteries are dead. So you either need new batteries or put it on the charger. But the point is, light needs to have a source of power. And that's exactly how we are in our life. We need to have a source of power, and it doesn't come from within. We can't be powered up unless we're allowing God's love and his light to flow through us and in us. Some of us in our Bible study groups right now are studying about the tabernacle. And this week, our group studied lesson 4. I'm not sure where the other groups are at. Maybe you just did that as well. But the title was called Illuminate. And Pastor Sean did a very good job explaining we are the lampstand and Jesus is the oil. I had to think of the song, "Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray." But at the end of the lesson, he asked some personal questions, and this morning I will ask you these same questions. Do you have the light of life in you? is Christ in you? And the second question is, how full is the oil in your lampstand? You see, in the tabernacle, the priest had to tend to the lampstand, and they had to trim the wicks and make sure the oil was there. And that is what spiritual disciplines are all about. It's trimming the wicks of your life. It's tending to the oil of your heart. Perhaps some of you are operating on fumes and your wick is very low and you feel like the flame is burning out. God says, let me trim the wick and let me fill your life with the oil. And the way this happens is spending time with God and walking with God, the one who invites us into his presence, who says, I want to meet with you. I want to be with you in your midst, and I want your light to blaze bright for my glory. The other thing that lesson brought out is you and I have been strategically and purposefully placed in the world to shine Christ for his glory. You ever think about it? Why do you live where you live? Why are you who you are? You know, it's not a coincidence you live where you live. It's not a coincidence you work where you work. And it's not a coincidence you have the family members you have, believe it or not. But you have been placed where you are strategically for God to shine the light of his glory through you. I drove by a church recently and the sign out front asked the question, are you available for God to work through you? You know, God wants to work through you every day as you are busy going about your ordinary day. Most everyone's life is very ordinary. I like to say we're pretty ordinary people. We rise in the morning, go about our business, and the world does not pay us any attention at all outside of our circle of influence. Basically, our lives are very ordinary. We go day after day, week after week, month after month, and year after year. And for most of us, our life does not change very much. God does still work through ordinary people like you and me today. I really believe he does. There was a woman who was looking after her young grandson at her house. And he asked her if she would take him to the beach. She said, no, not today. It's a little cool for that. He went off and played. And a little while later, he came back and asked again, Grandma, would you take me to the beach? And again, she said, no. She was really starting to wonder when he came back and asked a third time, because her grandson wasn't usually that persistent. You know, after thinking about it, she wondered if God was telling her to go for the walk. She went into her bedroom and prayed, asking God about it. She decided it has to be God working through her grandson, so she took her grandson for a walk to the beach. They arrived there, and she became puzzled that there wasn't anybody in sight. But they started walking along the beach for quite some time, and she was praying and wondering why God would have her there. Suddenly, she did see a person a long way off standing at the water's edge and then enter the water. She prayed for that person since there wasn't anybody else around and concluded God brought her down to the beach to pray for whoever that person is. That person was Peter, and as he was swimming way out in the deep ocean, he heard a clear, loud voice say, Peter! It scared him so bad he turned around and swam back to shore. He started running, and when he looked behind him, he saw his tracks in the sand following him. He was terrified. He ran faster and faster, but the tracks kept following him. He ran until he met this woman and her grandson, and she was able to talk with him. And during their conversation, she shared her testimony with him of how God has totally changed her life and given her hope. And right there on the beach, Peter invited Jesus Christ into his life. Peter went to tell his next door neighbor, an elderly man who had been praying for Peter and his family for many years. When Peter told him about the change in his life that day, the old man smiled and said, "This morning he was moved to spend much time praying specifically for Peter." Today, God has blessed Peter with a wife and family, and he is the director of a Christian organization. Peter's father became a Christian the last year of his life, and Peter was able to spend some wonderful time with him and reconcile their past, which was a huge blessing for Peter. As for Peter's brothers, the last time he shared his faith with them, they pushed him up against the wall and said they never want to hear about it again. Yes, God does some of his work through ordinary people like us. He is asking you, he's asking me to simply walk with him. When we have fellowship with him and when we are mindful of him throughout the day, when we have the joy of the Lord in our hearts and our cup overflows with his love, there will be many opportunities for each of us to shine his lights around us for his glory. Just remember, we often don't see the results. That's okay. Whether we are planting seeds or helping with the watering, sometimes the timing doesn't fit into our busy schedule. Many times the opportunity comes when we are busy in the middle of the day. Praise the Lord. Remember, Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." I'd like to close with those two questions. Do you have the light of life in you, which is Jesus? And how full is the oil in your lampstand? I'd like to ask Keith for a song at this time.